You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
You know, I actually should have let the happy music play. In fact, maybe I will. Hold on. Where is it? Join me. I don't know if he's happy, but I'm happy. Mike Musselman. What's going on, man? Maybe he's not here. Oh, he's not. He said he was on. I want him to tell the story. Hello?
Yeah.
I was just saying, I'm happy. Mike called me yesterday and...
Right, no, I understand.
Happy.
And like I said, after I see him today, I'll talk to you about it, and then we'll go from there, okay?
Well, I just want...
All right, thanks, Lauren.
Oh.
All right, bye.
Oh.
All right, man, I'm here.
I thought you were talking to me. Anyway.
I was on the phone.
Well, I could tell. I was telling everybody that, these things keep happening, and it's hard not to be bust into your happy dance because it doesn't happen very often in life, let alone the Marine Corps, where people get it and they start, almost immediately doing the right thing. So, without naming names, can you kind of describe the what happened yesterday?
Let me see. Let's just say that I have a friend and his wife called me and said, "Hey, can you talk to my husband?" You know, well, obviously, can you talk to blank? And I said, "Yes." So we went together. I had coffee. We talked. He's in a dark place. Things, you know, that, as we say, the triangle that we try and live in, right, is all over the place. And you kind of look at it, and it's like we talk about a wellness triangle, you know. So if you imagine you and living a good life in the center of that triangle, and the sides and the strength that holds it together, and those corners would be finance, your mental health, and your physical state. When those deteriorate, your triangle spills out all over the floor, and it looks like a mess. And sometimes people have a hard time understanding, how do I get back from that? How do I recover? Right? And it could be, like you said, you know, Mac, we'll find it out. I could drop a vase that my grandmother gave me. Boom, and it hits the ground. And I'm like, that's a traumatic event. That's a family heirloom. That's my grandmother's. You know, and it destroys people. And they don't know how to come back from that. And it could be something like that, or an immaterial object, or it could be the loss of a loved one, or it could just be, walking away from your tribe. You know, and that's kind of the case, is we left the Marine Corps, we come out here, and it's not there. You can't find it. You can't find what you missed in the Marine Corps. Now, yeah, we got the phone and we got text messages, but it's not the same. You want the physical contact, you want the interaction, you want the friendship, you want the, you know, all of that stuff. But the advice I gave him was, you missed something. And he said, "What?" And I said, you missed one of the key things. And I said, "Don't feel bad, because I didn't figure it out until I left the Marine Corps either." And, because they don't tell us when you're in Marines. It's a seed. When you leave the Marine Corps and you walk away from it, yes, you're leaving the tribe. And everybody says, see, they miss the Marines, not the Marine Corps. So you miss the tribe. You miss that connection. But you have the seed. And he looked at me again like, "What are you talking about?" And I said, through leadership, because how do we do leadership in the Marine Corps? He goes, "By example." And I said, "Okay." So by example, through your family, work, and your social life, you bring in others like you. You are the seed of the new tribe. So plant it, water it, make sure it went into good, rich soil, because before you know it, when you keep nurturing it along and you're doing those things, you're leading by example in your family life, your social life, and in your work, you know, in your social life, you're being kind, you're being polite, you're taking time, you're letting other people go, you're leaving smiles behind when you interact with people. So you're making people feel good about themselves. At work, you're being the best employee. You're giving it all every day. You're helping others struggle instead of letting them fall so you can take, you know, credit for picking up the pieces. No. And then in your family life, you know, you're there, you're being part of that. You're spending time, you're listening, you're helping things, you're helping along, you're building that cohesive unit as family. You do that, you nurture the seed, it grows, they will come to you. You will start interacting with people that are like you, like Josh says. We are the average of three of the five of the friends that we have. We're the average of them, right? You become the higher average. You're the guy that they strive to be. You create your own tribe. How great is that? But, you know, and so he got it. He was like, holy shit. You're right.
But I think an important part of that, and I don't like the way you use new tribe. Because to me, it's not just a group. It's there's more to it than just
but it's a culture.
Right. So to me, that tribe
is a way of life.
That's why we don't get over the Marine Corps. You know?
No, you'll never get over it.
Right. And so but
you want to call it a sub tribe? Let's call it a sub tribe.
We call some, like, so you want, I don't know if tribe's the right word though. It's for, you're gonna be
a subculture within a tribe.
You're gonna develop really good friends now. So anyway, I hear what you're saying. And so keep going with the story.
So, well, then just what you don't know. So everything was fine. He goes back to the family. And like I told you, here's an opportunity for your children to grow. They're, now you can be the father that you want to be, because now they can see, you can teach them with them and through with your wife. You can go through adversity together.
Right. And, well, hold on. You asked him, when you were having coffee, if he was still connected to his friends, right?
Yeah.
And he said they all gave me pretty much.
So they gave, so no, like a bunch of them, not all of them. He's like 18 buddies. Some are gone out of that unit. But he said, he goes, you know, a couple of them, when they contacted me, started quoting the commandments and the goals. And they're like, because they were there during that brief presentation that you guys gave at Camp Lejeune. I said, did you listen to them? And they're like, well, no, not because everybody called them at once. And so, you know, it was like, but it was kind of neat that what we did out there got out here to another, you know, another avenue, another channel. So it's working. So
Mike told me and. I don't know if I got tears in my eyes or got goosebumps or whatever, but you know, the question is, do they buy it? And the answer is they bought it. And not only are they buying it, they're living it, which is, I mean, what a small world story. You know, we always talk about the Marine Corps isn't a big place, but you know, that circle that these guys who just saw it, he was in 8th Marines, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that these guys reached out and said, I want to talk to you about this stuff. And so, awesome. Anyway, keep going with your story.
So, yeah. And then he gets back home. He tells his wife exactly. I mean, that was the beauty for me, because Lauren had called me and said, he walked in that door and he was just a new person. I could see hope. I could see everything that I wanted to see. You know, I was feeling good. Like, wow. And then he tells me, you know, here's what our plan is. I got to go to work, then I got to go to plant. Here's the plan. And we're going to do this together. When I get back, I want to sit down with you and the boys. And I have something to get off my chest. And I want to make sure I'll help. I know where I'm at. I know how to get out. And so that was amazing. I was like, yes. Then 1:55 in the morning turn of events. So the group that he works for, because of liability, they involuntarily put him into a facility last night. And so I was furious. So I got up early this morning, I got the news, and I was just like, are you, can't believe, the last thing you want to do to someone that is alienated and isolated themselves is to do that in a social sense and take them away from everything that they know is safe and alienate them and isolate them more, right? To further add to the embarrassment or the disgrace or the humiliation of you're this and now you're that. And so, you know, I'm searching, calling around because they can't release information. So finally I find out where he's at. I call the front desk up there and I'm like, when's your visiting hours? Sure, they're on the weekends. Okay, listen, I'm not going to be here this weekend. I'm flying out for business. Small lie, doesn't hurt anybody. Can you make an exception? Yes, you can come today at 4. I'm there. You know, so I'll be there at 4, right when the door, right when he can talk. And so he actually called me a little bit, and I didn't want to, you know, that's the point I try to make people is when you talk to people that are struggling or things like that, I know sometimes you feel bad. You're in a place that's not really feels good for yourself. So what you do is you fan the fire, you know, oh, the voice. Oh, you're right. Going to be okay. Right. Oh, you're going to be fine. You can do this. You know, no. It's normal. Be normal.
Right.
And don't talk about it because he already knows he's there. So the first thing that we talk about when he calls is, you know, he's like, hey, it's me. I said, I know. I got caller ID, jackass. And so, you know, caused him to laugh. And I said, so what's going on, man? How's the breakfast out there? I heard it's good. And he's like, what? And I said, dude, I went to one of those facilities in California. They put me in one for like a half day because I had PTSD. They thought it was crazy. And so I went there, and man, they had the best freaking breakfast ever. He goes, I haven't had breakfast yet. And I said, well, you're missing out, brother. I mean, shit, get your money's worth. You're not paying for it. You know, you're on vacation, man. Start relaxing, you know? And he goes, so I, you know, we talked about it, and I said, so what's your plan? What do you want to do while you're there? And he goes, oh, dude, I just want to get out. I said, okay. Well, you will. I mean, that is a known. But while you're there, what is your plan? He said, well, I don't have it. Okay, well, come up with one. So when you go talk to these people and you say, hey, here's my end state. This is where I want to be. This is what I want to feel after I'm done talking to you. Do you think we can get there? You know? And then be open and forthright. Come out, be honest, talk to them. They may not help you. And if they don't, that's fine. But don't fault him for trying. That's his job. And at the end of the day, if you do 2 days, 3 days, whatever, however long they got you, if it doesn't work, at least at the very least, when you walk out of that facility, they can turn around and say, you know what? That guy was the best person we've ever had in here. Right? Because now you're living to that old expectation of what you should be living your life as. You know? And then we'll go from there. So then I talked to the sister this morning. She's actually was studying mental health. She's in college for mental health. And first thing I tell her is, can you change professions? And she said, actually, as you say that, I came to a realization afterwards. She goes, yes, I am changing professions. I'm actually going to pursue a medical degree and deal with this because she goes, as I kept going down the road of psychology, I find out that it's ridiculous. And as we talk a lot about that kind of stuff, and she kind of, same conclusion of, it doesn't. This is just witchcraft, sorcery, you know? And she's like, I'm going to do something that'll actually work, you know, like a doctor, something that'll work. Because we laugh. And she says to me, which was, I think it was freaking crazy, was, she goes, you know, I have yet to met a patient that gets medicated and has all those specials on the couch and says, this was the best thing for me.
She heard me. She heard me say that. Did you tell her if Matt hears you knocking off his stuff, he's going to light you up?
No, that's what they say down there.
Quit stealing, you know, like, my material, man.
Yeah, that's what I said. So, but she's really interested. She's like, now she's, we talked a lot about what we talked about. She's like,
That's different.
But you know what? She's studied warrior cultures.
Oh, really?
Well, that's interesting. And she said, you know what? What you guys are talking about will work. She goes, I didn't think of that, but it'll work. So.
Why? Why did she say that?
Because of the close knit of a tribe, of a culture like that. When you talk about warrior culture, you're talking about something that's so different than anything else that you can only understand it if you're in it. You can stand next to it. You can be a spouse of one for 50 years and say, you know what? But you were never in it. You were close. You're as close as you can get. And you may understand it a little bit, but you don't know what it's like. Gotta be in it.
You know, just so everybody knows that we're not like completely full of shit, which we at times can be, but the actual percentage at any given time of Marines to the population is 6.8 tenths of 1/10 of 1% of the population. That equals zero. Okay. Yeah. Think about that. 6.8 tenths of 1/10 of 1% of the population. That's how small the Marines that right now defend this country are relative to the population. Yeah, there ain't. When you say the few, that's like the really few. So.
The really, really few.
Interesting. You know, Mike, that's. Well, you know, it brings up another thing that Mike and I have talked about, and I know he and I have had these conversations with other people that we know that are in law enforcement. Law enforcement is not very good at mental health.
No. Well, the Marine Corps is not either.
Right. I agree, but...
I don't think anybody is.
But when we were talking, Mike and I were talking about this, and we talked about, you know, when you isolate somebody... You know, when their family goes away, you know, and again, so.
You're adding to the humiliation and the separation too. You're deepening his struggle. You're giving him a shovel and telling him if you keep digging, you might get out.
So to me, the first step you have to do before you take any subsequent step is you got to triage the guy. You got to talk to him, and you got to find out and you should probably.
And where's he at?
Yeah,
where's he at?
And you ought to get his wife's opinion too. And if he doesn't seem, if he's not breaking squelch, and his wife says, "No, I'm not. Am I afraid? No, I'm not afraid. I'm afraid for him, but not for me, and not for our kids. You know, because it's a cover your ass move. And and if it's not necessary, you know, you have the chance to make the whole thing worse. You know, so Mike's gonna go out and save it.
It's so I'll be out there today, and shit, I'll spend the night if I have to. I mean, it's not a big deal.
It wouldn't be the first time, right?
Right. It's upsetting. But I understand. I understand what they got to do. That what they got to do is what they got to do. They know what works.
Well, yeah, but you know, but here's the problem with the whole ideation thing, Mike. You know, now let's just say he's in the Marine Corps. He does what we say to do, which is talk about it, and then he says he's thinking about it, and then we check the block of ideation, right? And now we add Stefan.
No, that's why we do that is because we let mental health in. And that came from a recommendation from a mental health expert. I mean, how fucking stupid. That is like, I can't even fathom the degree, the level of stupidity that Asian falls on, that the one thing that we're going to do is we're going to kick him away. We're gonna remove him from the tribe's scrolls and kick him out. What the?
Yeah.
Okay, so if he doesn't kill himself, yes, he now is, with 100% guarantee, going to live a diminished life. He is going to be the 1% of society that the police are going to have to deal with. Now, yes, there is a chance that he may turn his shit around, but I will tell you, no.
Just your opinion, no. All right, let me give you a situation, and you could be, I'll make you the CG of the Division or the MEF. Would you rather be the MEF or the Division?
I don't care. Just pick one.
Well, pick one.
Let's go with the Division.
All right, so Mike, you're Major General Musselman. Okay, Marine, out of SOI, first 6 months in the Marine Corps, suicidal ideations. You sit down and talk to him. He seems normal. What do you do?
What do I do as a CG?
Yeah, what do you do as a CG? You're, for instance, so this comes to you in as their admin stepping him, and you look at the package. What do?
I get his squad leader. I get his platoon sergeant, his platoon commander, his company commander. I mean, everybody, light him up.
And you sit down and you have a conversation.
Yeah. My first conversation is, what happened to leadership?
Right.
Do we need a PME on what leadership means? No, General, we don't. No, you do. It's a rhetorical question, idiot. Shut up. That's why you're standing here.
The best part is that's exactly what he does, too.
Yeah, that's what I do. That's how I talk to people. It's a rhetorical question. It's a trick question. You just failed. Shut the hell up. The reason you're standing is because you do need a class on leadership and what it needs to mean no leave no Marine behind. You just did. That guy. He was left behind.
Okay, so what happens if they say, they stand there and they take it, and then you say, all right, this is the part where you speak. All right? I want to know.
I don't think I give them a chance to speak.
Though. Oh, really? All right.
I don't like all people right. when they speak. It takes too much time. It breaks.
No, see, what I want from them is, right, is he salvageable? Now, so hit pause X. Okay, now let's deal with a sergeant, right? So he's in his second enlistment, coming up on his third. His wife leaves him, right, with the kids. He's struggling. He ideates, and that package comes in front of you. What do you do with that guy?
Oh, then I bring him in alone.
He's being admin sept out of the Marine Corps because of
that. Yeah. He comes in alone because this is one of those, he knows better. You know, he's doing this on purpose. This is self-sabotaging or self-destructive behavior. The other kid didn't know. He just doesn't know what to turn to because he was left behind. This guy's leaving himself behind. There's a difference now. So me and him have the conversation mano to mano.
And what's the conversation going to be?
The conversation is going to be neutral. It's going to be two-way on this one. You know, it's going to be, hey, where do we need to go? What needs to be said? What happened? Where did we go wrong? Let's look back a little bit and figure out what we did wrong. Where was the wrong turn made? What happened? Because this is a guy that knows better. Right? This is a guy that, I mean, for all intents and purposes, he's been indoctrinated into the Marine Corps.
Yeah, he's a Marine. The other guy is not really a Marine.
Not really a Marine. He's still in the indoctrination. He's still through the final forging. You know, he's been out of the, he's out, probably out of the forge. He's cooling down. He's been quenched. And now he's getting ready to put the edge on him. But he's not quite there. He's almost there, but not quite there. But this guy, yeah, he's there. What happened? Did the system institution fail you? I'd like to know that. That can fix that. What do we need to do to fix you? Is that, that's where I need to get to. And, you know, again, I can't, it's an old saying, you know, I can't help you unless you're willing to help yourself, right?
Right.
But I can put you in a position to help yourself, which allows me to help myself.
So you're going to bring them in, and you're going to do your own dive into this to see if the guy is actually salvable, because you're trying to
everybody's
make
everybody salvageable. Everybody.
I don't know about that, but okay, I'll take.
Name one case that would not be.
Give me a second, and I will. I'll throw a name out, and you'll go, "Yeah, you're right about that."
I mean, Matt, come on. I mean, when you look at case studies, you look at even like a Jeffrey Dahmer. He would have been salvageable if he had fucking decent parents.
Right. But you know what I mean?
Everybody is salvageable.
In the Marine Corps, we can't. I mean,
we can't turn back the clock.
We have limited assets, and we have a lot of people, and we got missions to do, so we can't.
If we can identify where that link was fractured or broken way down the chain, I can go back and do something. Either add more chain or break it off and splice off to a new path. I can do something. I believe we can do something. Until you show me we can, I'm still on the belief of being an optimist, and everybody is salvageable. Everybody. Some people take more time. That's fine. That's all I got.
Well, you know what? I'll accept that, that everybody's salvageable, right? But the question is, right, how much time can you devote to any one endeavor, and how long does it take for this guy to be full up round to be able to be deployable? And to me, if it takes too long to get that guy, if we sit down, it's like, yeah,
that's our problem, though, Mac. You just hit it right now.
It's going to be 18 months before. I don't know.
Here's the problem. Right. My division has 20,000 guys in it, right?
Right.
I'm one guy that gets it. That's the problem.
What do you mean? I'm one guy that gets what?
I'm the one guy that gets. Understands what we're talking about. Right. I can fix this.
Right.
Because I understand it. I understand what needs to get done to get fixed. My problem is I need to build others. So I have 20,000 people, and I'm the one guy that gets it? No. What I need to have is 20,000 Marines and maybe 18,000 that get it and 2,000 that we can help. So now I have 18,000 Marines there to help 2,000. Now I can do that. Now I got all the time in the world. The proportion has got to swing to the preponderance of guys got to understand where they need to be. We need better leaders in the Marine Corps. How do we get there? We got to train them. Okay, let's train them. Boom, boom. Build better leaders. I can build. There's more leaders than there are freaking snuffies. You know, we can do it.
Listen to you, little engine that could.
But we have to invest our time. We got to invest our time to build the core. The cadre. I got to build the cadre of people that can help. If it's just me, you're right. It's not going to work. I don't have time enough in the day.
Okay, but I want to go back. I want to go back to the how long does it take you? Because I can't have you for 3 years being in some kind of treatment because it's not fair to everybody else. So you're looking to make a judgment about
treatment. I'm not putting you in treatment for 3 years. You're going to be in the division for 3 years. That's your treatment.
All right. So you're going to bring this guy back, and you're going to talk to everybody, and you're making an assessment, and we're going to yank him back into the tribe. I mean, and some of the stories you hear are crazy in terms of, you know, the way people even get astray when they're showing up to work every day. You know, they're alienated, or they've segmented their life so that nobody knows what I'm doing over here. I'm really going home and drinking a half a case of beer every night. And I'm getting drunk, but I come to work and I'm a functional alcoholic, and nobody really knows what I'm doing. So, right. I mean, and it's
nobody
amazing.
Nobody joins the Marine Corps
to be
with the understanding of saying, I'm going to join this group of this organization and be the biggest piece of shit there is. No one says that. They just don't.
Yeah, but again, as a commanding general, though, you have a big organization to run, and you're not a social network, right? You're not a rehab program. You're a fighting organization. So you have to make a determination about every one of these cases that comes in front of you is, does this guy have structural damage, or can I save this? Or is it just, he lost his way, I need to yank him back, he can be Phillip Brown. So that's what you're doing as a CG.
I would be the guy, until you fired me, that I would say, I'll work with everybody. I'm not going to turn, I can't, I just, it's who I am, I just can't turn, no. You know me, I like misfit toys. Because they're unique. No one else has them. They're one of a kind. I always like that. I've always been that person. I like the guys. Mike and Wishnia come and work for me.
Right.
Mike was as good as just as everybody else that I had. They were all stellar performers.
You should call him.
But if you put those guys in the regular lineup of the Marine Corps, you would say, oh man. But I had the Island of Misfit Toys, but they were the best Marines in the regiment.
I don't know about best, but they were.
Oh, they were the best, dude.
They became good Marines. No, I'm with you. But when you, you can't say you.
Gunnies exactly what to do. And the gunnies were like, yes, sir. Because they knew their shit was in the street. My guys had their shit packed. You know, they would come and whatever it was. You know, and they were respectful. They would come to him and say, they play that card. Hey, Sergeant, come here. My name is Gunner Sergeant Hancock. And you do this for me and blah, 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 blah. They listen to him and say, hey, Gunny, here's what we did for you. You failed to act on it. This is a you know, you didn't do your part. Now you want me to jump through the hoops? It would require me to call the regimental gunner. You want me to get him involved? No. Okay, I got it. What can you do for me, buddy? Oh, okay, now we're friends? They take care of me. But my guys were not, they were awesome.
Right. Okay, but again, I understand, but you're not going to be able to save everybody. I understand that you say, if I can, you know, blah, blah, I get that. But the truth is you can't. There's some people.
Right. You even said it yourself. What do? We strive for excellence and we fall to what?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever said that. That's not me.
Somebody. We always, we aim for excellence and we hit.
Excellence.
Excellence. And if we fall short, we're still in the way above average zone.
Yeah.
But if we aim for mediocrity or average, and you fall short, now you're in the shit sort.
Interesting. And so to me, what happens with institutions is they overreact because how does this impact me? Right, and so when you look,
how does this impact the institution?
Because look, not on my watch, man. This shit ain't gonna happen on my watch.
Right.
And is that as you said earlier? Is that what is best for this guy? Is that what's best in this situation, or is that what the institution does to cover its ass so that we followed our procedure? Yeah, but you made it worse though.
Yeah, you'll never solve the problem.
Right.
The problem will always be there. And if you look around, it's getting worse, boys and girls. We need to do something about it. It's not going to go away on its own. You know, the difference is I'm actually doing something about it. And people say, well, you're not going to make a difference. You're one guy.
Oh, trust me.
Bullshit,
trust
boys.
Me, boy.
You don't know very well.
Trust me.
I am going to make it.
And let me tell you, as Mike said, I don't know, I can't remember when he said this, but, and you hear people say, if it helps one person, well, trust
then
me.
Then you've helped.
Yeah.
Well, you've done more than most people in the world when you help one person through those type of times. And if you can do that, if you can really pull someone through the darkest times of their life and bring them out, then you know what? You've done more than the majority of people in the world at what they've ever done.
Here's an email. So how should an institution that does have to balance its own well-being with the well-being of their employees, how should that institution behave? So, Mike, so if you're...
I mean, this is kind of a... I think we beat this one to death. The institution is about... You know, what makes the institution important is how we take care of our own. That's how I judge you. That's how I'm looking at you. That's how I grade you. How well do you take care of your own people?
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, these people are what? They're sheriffs and police department heads. Police are appointed. Some sheriffs are elected.
Then you change the way everybody thinks.
I don't know. I think you're pissing up a rope on that one. I mean, it's not the way we do it. It's not what we know. So the fact that there would be a political consideration in this is we would look at that and go, yeah, somebody needs to line that out because that's not significant here. Whoa, what are you talking about? It was like, I read an article the other day that it was talking about General Kelly talking to the White House staff. And the article was written like, what he told us was crazy, was not to be loyal to the president. And you're like, what? So you read the article. What he told them was they had a duty to the nation based on the oath that they swore to always do the right thing.
Right.
And they're like, and they took it like completely upside down, right? Like, he told us to be disloyal to the president. No, he didn't. He told you to be loyal to the nation and extra duties in accordance with that loyalty. That's right. Your first loyalty. Your second is to somebody in a political party. And they were like, whoa, this is crazy. And then we're looking at them going, if you don't understand that, that's crazy. And so to me, that's the component of this. Like, if you would say, strike that line, right? Be mindful of the political considerations and implications of your decisions. Yeah, strike that line. We're going to do what's best, right? We're going to do what's best for that person, right? And they would look at it like, oh, hey, you know, this Musselman guy, man, where do we get him? You know, because that's not how they do it. I mean, so, and then what you described earlier, right, is not what's best for him. So somebody made the decision. He did this. He's going here. Blah, 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 blah. And there was that intermediate step that you're talking about. We're going to talk to him. We're going to talk to his wife. We're going to find out what's going on. And we'll do the right thing. That ain't happening. Sorry. Because our reputation, and if this thing goes south, what the hit will take, the juice ain't worth the squeeze. So he can feel, you know, a little bit worse, but we're going to be clean, which at the end of the day, that's the decision, yes?
Yeah, and that's the part. You know what? If you're making that decision, I don't know how you sleep at night.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, you sleep pretty well because you're living in a big fancy house because you're making a couple hundred grand a year.
Yeah, you're just... I that's just me, you know, and I hate to say that, but I mean, if you're doing that, you're not in a good place yourself.
But that's where they live, right?
Yeah, that's the place they live. You're right, and you can't change that, but you can. So, you know, as you told, you know, I'm working with some of them to work something. You know, we're going to work something out with them. And see where we can get, because they see the, you know, there's a lot of them there, and they're just following policy. They didn't write this. I get it. They're not the bad guys. They're just doing what they have to do.
Because you, I don't want to, you got into it with somebody yesterday about this, right?
Oh yeah.
About well, this is how we do it, and you know.
I don't want to go there.
No, I mean, it's frustrating because you're trying to do the right thing for people, and if you don't have people that'll you know, they give you, well, this is how we do it. Oh, so one size fits all here? Yes.
Because they haven't been trained, or they they rely on, again, they're relying on mental health. Hang on a second. I got Jacksonville calling me. Go ahead, Pop.
Who, me? All right, we're on hold. Mike Musselman is taking a phone call from Jacksonville, North Carolina, home of the 2nd Marine Division. So we're standing by as we navigate this Friday at 9:48 Pacific time here on your home for All Marine Radio, the All Warrior Radio Network. We're having a conversation right now. This is called resetting, right, in the radio business. So we're having a conversation right now about the institutional response to suicidal ideations. We tell people, hey, you got to talk about it. So if I talk about it and I say, yeah, I've thought about it, like, what? Then do we boot your ass out? Or do we have the right things in place to be able to sit down with you and support you? So that's what this discussion, is about. And so it's kind of interesting. One of the things Mike and I talked about is the law enforcement community doesn't do this very well at all. And I think the statistic I saw recently was less than 10% of police departments have mental health, either departments or programs, to treat officers. And I think you can only do that job for so long before you drive yourself absolutely crazy. And you need to have leaders in police departments that get guys out of the patrol division and get them to other jobs, because you can't do that every day for 20 years and not be a kook. You got to go do something else for your own mental health and the mental, and the good of the department. So it's kind of an interesting little discussion that that we were having. And Mike knows a lot of guys in the law enforcement community. And so we were having that discussion. We've had a number of them reach out and say, hey, we've heard. And normally the way it goes is Marine veterans are listening to All Marine Radio. And, you know, they're working as police officers. And so they inquire, they say, hey, would you be interested in doing this for us? And the answer is that the whole post-traumatic winning pitch is it doesn't have a whole lot to do with the military. It has a whole lot to do with life. We're really lucky, to be honest with you, those of us who serve, because we are a part of a tribe. And that's, at the end of the day, that's a pretty good thing. And so we learn about it. We we're encouraged to, you know, maintain our relationships and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, all right, we're going to take about a 2-minute break. We'll come back. We'll finish up. Mike's on a phone call. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it, the McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Continue here on Friday edition of All Marine Radio. I don't know that Mike's back yet. Are you there? He is not. So we'll do a little bit of today in history as we go out the door today. The it's Toby Keith. There's some interesting things that happen on this date in history. On this date, 1533, Henry VIII secretly married Anne Boleyn, his second wife. That caused some issues. On this date in 1890, the United Mine Workers of America was founded in Columbus, Ohio. What are they mining in Ohio? No idea. On this date in 1915, inventor of the telephone, Alexander Graham Bell, inaugurated transcontinental telephone service in the United States. How about that? How crazy? Think about that. Now all of a sudden you can talk to somebody on the other coast. Crazy when you think about it. in 1915. Now all of a sudden we're going to talk. The telephone. Pretty amazing. On this date in 1959, American Airlines opened the jet age in the United States with the first scheduled transcontinental flight of the Boeing 707. On this date in 1971, Charles Manson and three female followers were convicted in Los Angeles of the Tate-LaBianca murders. On this date in 1988, Vice President George Bush and Dan Rather clashed on the CBS Evening News as the anchorman attempted to question the Republican presidential candidate about his role in the Iran-Contra affair. On this date in 1993, a gunman shot and killed two CIA employees outside the agency headquarters in Virginia. He was a Pakistani national, later convicted and executed in 2002. In 2006, Islamic militant group Hamas won a large majority of seats in Palestinian parliamentary elections. And on this date in 2011, Egypt's revolution began as thousands of anti-government protesters clashed with police during a Tunisian-inspired demonstration to demand the end of President Hosni Mubarak's rule. That'll do it on a Friday. Thanks for listening. Hope you have a great weekend. If you just tuned in, first hour we talk about biggest question relative to post-traumatic winning is would people buy into it? And answer is they bought it. So you hear that and you hear the news headlines, and then the second hour kind of get into the history of the hot dog of all things. So the chef joins us, and then Mike in the third hour. So have a great day. We'll see you on Monday. All Marine Radio.